You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
2 o'clock at the Southland. Mason and Ironwood on a live imaging Tuesday. Michael Thompson here. Andy Kamenetsky information.
Is this the Luther version of this?
I was just asking if you knew who that was.
It's the only version that matters.
Yeah. Remember they did a Jordan Clarkson? What, Jordan?
Jennifer or Hudson.
Hudson, they did, and they said, get rid of and put Luther back.
Yeah,
you gotta get rid of. They did. They tried to spice it up
a little bit. Does it make me a nerd alert, Jorge, that I still listen to Luther Vandross?
No. Man, are you kidding me?
Nerd power.
I think he's got a great voice and a ton of great songs.
Even Skinny Luther?
Oh, yeah.
The Skinny Luther, he was really jamming.
Yeah, but Heart Attack? Is that what got him? I can't remember.
I don't know exactly, but something
got
him.
Yeah, I think he lost so much weight that it may have affected his
heart.
That's
why I don't lose as much weight.
There you go.
There you go, Chris. That was my way of telling you, eat what you want.
See, Andy Kamenetsky earlier said, hey, Chris, looks like you've lost a few pounds. He did the old John Ireland bit to me.
I'm not allowed to comment on your weight. Because my wife said Chris told her that all I do is comment on his weight.
It was actually, by the way, a heart attack with losing.
It's a final.
Yes.
Meanwhile, we play one shining moment because Thursday, March 16th, as the tournament, the big dance, Michael, tips off. ESPN LA has taken over Yamaha Resort and Casino's newest sports bar, the 909, a tournament tip-off party, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. all day long. Even John Ireland, I've heard.
I am making an appearance, and Michael, it's we get back that night from Houston at like 3 in the morning, and then I'm going right to Yamaha.
You're going straight out there. You're going to stay
straight
out there.
Straight there. Why not? It's a casino, right, Chris?
It is.
It'll be open. There'll be a table open for me. Yeah.
Well, much like in the movie Casino.
Yeah. Straight to the table.
With Ace Rotstein, we can find somebody to make sure you stay up all night.
All right, good.
Anyway, we'll be there 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Yamaha Resort and Casino. Don't miss it. A tournament tip-off party. Mm-hmm. Maybe if we can talk Michael Thompson into coming out.
I'm not going out there. I've been to Yamaha. It's a beautiful place.
Why would you go to Yamaha?
I was out there for an autograph signing.
And wow, good for you.
Were you signing autographs or you were trying to get somebody's autograph?
Well, a little bit of both.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it was a beautiful place. Nice place out there.
Oh, very nice. All right, Mason in Ireland on a Tuesday continues.
Thank you, Chris. Now, we've been working on this for a while. This is the we often talk about, that guy's underrated. He's the most underrated player in the league. Blah, 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 blah. By the way, take off the two restrictions. Who's the most, if he's on your list, don't say it, but who's the most underrated player in the league, including all-stars and all-NBA guys? I think it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
He was an all-star.
Right, but I'm saying, take the restrictions off. Who's the most underrated player in the league?
That's a great question. If you even
include all-stars. You know who else is on my list?
Oh.
But he's, again, doesn't qualify because he's been an all-star? Andrew Wiggins. I think Andrew Wiggins is a better player than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
Andy, when that pops into your head, is it somebody on your team or off your
team? No, he's off my team because
he's been an all-star?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not going to be a popular answer with the people listening right now, but I think it's true. It is a Clipper.
Yeah.
It's Paul George. I think Paul George is so underappreciated because he has this incredible ability.
I would argue that he's properly rated. I think that he's a max player. He makes all that money, and I don't think he could be the best player on a championship team, but he's better than the other team's second best player.
But I think people think he is overrated in part because they don't like him. And he has a habit of saying foot and mouth stuff.
Okay.
In the playoffs, yeah.
But he's a really good player.
He is.
Okay, so let's get to this. This is the all underrated team. I've got five. Andy's got five. Michael's got five. And Greg will determine who comes up with the best team. Now, the only two rules. Can't have been an all-star. Cannot have been all-NBA.
And
okay?
they don't have to be current players, correct?
They do.
It was not said.
Yeah, it's current. We don't care about who's retired.
Oh, so you got your list will be different than ours then.
Yes. I don't think that was made clear. I apologize if it was.
Now. Why would
start
we care
thinking.
Underrated?
Start thinking of new other people last. Now.
All right. So, Michael, who's your first one?
All right. I will give you my honorable mentions first.
Okay.
Before I give you my final five.
Okay.
My honorable mentions for most underrated who have never been an all-star in the NBA are Miles Turner from Indiana.
Okay.
Jalen Brunson from the Knicks. Tobias Harris from Philly. And Fred Van Vliet from Toronto.
All right, some of those guys are on my team. Who's the first person who actually made your five?
Here are my five most underrated players in the league that people like Andy Kamenetsky pay no attention to. CJ McCollum.
Okay. Now, wait. Don't just give me one.
Okay. CJ McCollum.
All right, Andy. You can give me the retired guys if you made a retired.
Well, I'll start with a guy in
copy
the league.
Copy my list.
I know. Seriously.
I'll let you copy, not like Mace.
Here's someone in the league that I think is underrated. Josh Hart.
Okay, that's
a good
one. I
think Josh Hart is a really underrated player.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so my first one is Evan Mobley, who plays for Cleveland. I think he's a really good player. Never been an all-star. He's young. Never been a all-NBA player, so I'll take Evan Mobley. Michael, who's your second one?
Mikal Bridges.
Good one.
Yeah, that boy can play.
Good
he's not going to be underrated much longer.
And he doesn't miss games.
Yeah.
Plays every game.
All right, Andy, number two.
Okay, pretend this guy is still in
all
the
right,
league.
Go ahead.
Lamar Odom.
Okay.
I think people focus so much on him, I guess, not reaching his maximum potential. They overlooked everything he did incredibly well.
Okay, number two for me, forgive me, Laker fans, Marcus Smart. Defensive player of the year, contributes offensively, think he's a really good player. Marcus Smart is my number two. Michael, who's your number three?
You don't have to axe Laker fans for forgiveness for naming a Celtic. I mean, if you're a
Celtic.
Why,
are you about to name a Celtic?
Yeah, because Marcus Smart, too.
Oh,
because,
got it?
Okay. He's on mine, too, because he does it on both ends. And if you can play, and if you're a Celtic, you still got to give him their credit.
All right, Andy, who's your number three?
Smart's a really good point guard. My number three, Tayshaun Prince. He only made all defense teams, but he never made an all-star team. He also, too, I think, was sort of the embodiment of how that whole Pistons team
yeah.
Totally underrated, and at this point, we should stop talking about them like they were a no-star team. They have at least two guys in the Hall of Fame, two other guys, multiple All-Stars. That team was much more of a star team than they're talked about now.
Okay, my third one is a little bit of a reach, but you knew I wasn't making a team without at least one Laker on it. And I really wanted to put Austin Reeves on here, but he goes on my honorable mention. I'm taking Jared Vanderbilt.
Huh.
Jared Vanderbilt for all underrated. What do you guys think of that pick?
He's all underpaid right now.
Yeah. Okay. Michael, what's your number four?
Number four is a guard who never made the All-Star game or All-NBA team, but I think he might be Canada's maybe second best player in the game today, maybe behind Shea, is Jamal Murray.
Has Jamal Murray never been All-NBA and
nope.
Never been an All-Star?
No, he's been hurt a lot.
Oh, that's a good pick.
He's really good.
Yeah, that is a good pick.
Very good.
Andy, number four.
Mike Bibby. Kills me to say this because he irritated the hell out of me as a player, but he was really good. That 2002 Western Conference Finals against the Lakers, he and Bobby Jackson were the only ones who weren't afraid of the moment.
All right, this is one that was on Michael's honorable mention, but he's on my five. I think this guy's going to be an all-star many times over, and that's Jalen Brunson, who I think has shown, now that he's on the Knicks, that the Mavericks made a huge mistake letting him go. So Jalen Brunson is my number four. All right, Michael, your last one. Who is it?
This one frustrates me because his own team underrates him and underappreciates him. And because I think he's the fourth best center in the game today. My boy from the Bahamas, DeAndre Ayton.
Interesting.
He can play. And they don't, they just, he's an afterthought in that team.
He's got a really, it seems like,
former,
bad
like you, Michael, former mm-hmm. number one overall pick in the, Andy, who's your fifth?
Mike Miller. He was a
skinny.
Really good scorer, shooter, could run sets. Plus, he had a pet monkey. Mm-hmm. For real.
Well, could we cast him in Commander and Chimp?
I don't think the monkey's still with us, unfortunately.
That's too bad. Remember Corey Brewer played for the Lakers?
He had a pet goat.
Goat. Billy Wayne Brewer.
One of the nicest guys
my
ever.
Last one, Michael, I think was on your honorable mention list. I don't understand why this guy doesn't get more love, but never been on an all-star team, never been all-NBA, puts up great numbers every year. Miles Turner of the Pacers. So
he's been on the block for like 3 years.
Yeah, and then they just gave him the bag. You know, Indiana just gave him all the money, so he's not going anywhere now. All right, so Andy kind of misinterpreted the assignment, Greg, but you can figure
he's
that
out.
All right, who has a better team? You want Michael's
think
team
about
or my
it, Greg.
Team?
Let me think about yours for a little bit. I mean, your list is fine, but it's just not a part
I didn't
of
follow the assignment.
Not at all. So I think you both, John and Michael, you both have really good teams. I think the only problem I have with yours, John, is the Evan Mobley part. He's only in his second year, so
right.
You really
he's
can't under, say he's underrated at that point. He still has
like
a little
not
more
living
time.
Up to the hype.
I mean, he's still playing well.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, but he's not, I don't know.
Can I tell you something? So you're taking Michael's team?
I am going to take Michael's team because it's just the better team overall. Like, if you put that team out on the floor, they're going to win 40 games.
Mm-hmm. Michael, I also think your team is better than mine. Right. Yeah, I think McCollum is a great pick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mikhail Bridges is a great pick. Jamal Murray.
Like, if you told me, yeah, like, every one of you, like, we both took Marcus Smart. Yeah. But
Boston.
Yeah, F Boston. Jamal Murray is better than Jalen Brunson. Not a lot, but he's better.
Yeah, he is.
DeAndre Ayton, I think I take over Miles Turner. Well, that's close,
that's
though,
close.
Right?
That's close. I like them both. Miles Turner is a good shot blocker, good
and,
player.
And Mikhail Bridges is a little better than Jared Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, Michael, you win the assignment. Ooh, you had the best team.
Finally, I got some homework right.
Yeah, there you go.
I've done this in college.
Well, Andy didn't get it right, yeah, so well, you know, someone
yeah,
had
you know,
to.
Well, yeah, you would have had, Michael, you actually would have had to go to class to find out what the homework was. You know, is the problem. But, yeah, there are a lot of guys in the league. By the way, I think Austin Reeves is coming. He'll be on my all-underrated team. Do you guys notice whenever Austin Reeves is in the game, you're never upset that you're like, the only time you get mad is when they take him out? Yeah, you always want him in there.
He makes winning plays on both ends of the floor.
Right.
You know, I was thinking about this today. Michael Wilbon was talking about Ja and how he's a face of the NBA, right?
Right, one of them.
He said one of the five faces. So I was thinking, who are the five faces of the NBA right now?
Okay, all right. Can I guess before you give me yours?
Yeah.
All right, Giannis.
Yep, he's one of them.
LeBron.
Yep, that's two. Three more.
Can I throw out another?
Yeah.
Steph.
Yep, that's three.
Let's get these without missing one.
And I said Ja is one of them, so Ja is the fourth. Who's the fifth?
All right, so let's think about this.
It's pretty easy.
I think I know.
Fifth face in the NBA right now. If you had a starting five of the five faces of the NBA, who is that guy?
I wrote mine down.
I'm trying to think.
It's pretty obvious, Ireland. I'm surprised you're missing it.
Well, but it could be a couple of different people.
Yeah, it could be between three people, but I came up with this guy I think is the face of the NBA now, going forward, and now.
I think you put either Jokic or Embiid.
I put Luka over both of those guys.
Is that who you put?
No, actually, I put KD.
Well, KD's getting he's kind of getting old, but Luka's kind of like the face now. Luka's very popular and
yes, he is.
All NBA every year. So I think, Luka, Ja, LeBron, Steph, and Giannis, to me, are the five main. Now, Jokic is going to be the three-time MVP, but I still think those five guys are faces of the NBA ahead of him.
I think Jokic actually has less interest in being a face than the people Michael's pointing out.
I twice one day, Michael, mark this date down. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Luka's got to be on that list. Yeah. Luka's going to be the guy that's entrenched there for. But KD's a good pick, too.
Yeah, KD's
all
a
right,
good pick.
So you guys, when we do our jobs, particularly Michael and I, when we do the games, we have at our disposal a ridiculous amount of game notes. Okay, so it's basically, it's like studying for a midterm, and I study like, Andy, you've seen this before.
Study? What's that?
Well, but Michael, you're hired to give your perspective as an ex-player.
Yeah.
I mean, this is more for me. But like, so, Andy, for this, I have a thing called a TICAM, which is just an acronym for things I can ask Michael. Mm-hmm. So these are all things that I could talk to Michael about. And then I have a couple of shot sheets that are like, are we on YouTube today? I can't remember.
See?
Oh, we are? Okay, so I'll show it to the YouTube camera. It's basically a cheat sheet
with
like everything on it. What would happen if a team decided we're not providing you any information? We're not giving you a roster. We're not giving you facts. We're not, just do the game. You figure out who those guys are. It happened in baseball over the weekend, and a legendary Hall of Fame announcer was not having it. We'll play you his reaction coming up next. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Quarter after 2 p.m. in the Southland. Go ahead, John. Take a shot.
Ace.
Ace. How long?
I think this is one-hit wonders, Ace.
Maybe, probably. Live Imaging Tuesday, Yacht Rock Tuesday on Mason Island. Andy Kamenetsky, Michael Thompson, sitting in from Ace. Of course he's gone. Andy Kamenetsky, if you're watching on YouTube, of course, search ESPN LA on YouTube. Watch the show live. You can see all of us. Andy is wearing, along with myself, the ESPN LA Pickleball Madness Tournament official T-shirt.
With your name on the back.
With your name on the back. Nice. Thanks to our friends at Municipal. And by the way, everyone participating in the tournament, playing,
you know,
will get their very own.
By the way, Chris, yes. Municipal, that company has a ton of great golf stuff.
Great golf stuff. They did the quarter zips for our ESPN LA golf tournament. They got a great hat that I wear often. Municipal's a good company, quality company. And I've been following the saga, Michael, on Instagram from our friend Mike Trudell, who takes videos of you and your outfits on the plane.
Yeah.
And he, I guess he bought you new gear?
Well, he got new gear. The equipment manager for the Lakers is a guy named Andrew Hink, who is a great guy.
Okay.
And if you go see Andrew, if you're on staff, if you work for the Lakers and you go see Andrew, he'll hook you up. So Trudell got tired of Michael wearing all old stuff. Like Trace used to play for the White Sox, so Michael wears a lot of White Sox stuff.
Right.
He wears some University of Minnesota stuff. He wears a lot of, you know, Zubaz pants, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So Trudell went out of his way, went to Andrew Hink, and he goes, I need big stuff for Michael. Yeah. And he got him a bag of swag, basically.
And you haven't worn any.
Michael won't wear it.
The stuff can't fit Kamenetsky. It's so small. I said, how tall do you think I am? 6'1"? No. He bought me like 15 pieces of gear, and only one of them fit me.
Okay. So you're going to continue to wear like this sweatshirt I see is often featured.
I have a surprise coming for you.
Ooh, some Zubas?
No.
Zubas?
No, you'll like it, though.
All right.
And I went 3XL. Do you think that'll be big
3XL?
Enough?
3XL? What, tops or bottoms?
Tops.
Tops? Yeah, this should be big enough.
Okay, so we'll see when it gets here.
I hate tight stuff like you're wearing, Chris. I like tight stuff.
It's only snug right now because I have a shirt underneath it, Michael.
Okay. Is that what it is?
Thanks to our friends at Municipal, by the way.
that's the reason it's snug.
Well, listen,
dog. Yeah.
I wasn't planning for this. Tommy, head of the Fun and Games Department, threw it on
me. The great Tommy Lamb.
I said, let's put it on. Let's promote Municipal. Let's get ready for
Pickleball
Madness.
I love Municipal. You don't even need to. You don't have to tell me twice. I mean, I'm all in on those Municipal guys.
All right, Mason and Ireland continues right now.
All right, so I mentioned that whenever we do a game, like Michael and I work a lot of games, we have at our disposal an endless amount of game notes. And Andy, you actually just told an interesting story that I think is a typical fan story. Tell that on the air.
Before I got in this industry and saw how a lot of the sausage is made, so to speak, I had no idea the announcers in these games had support staffs,
right,
and notes and people like doing a lot of this work and research for them. So I would watch, growing up in St. Louis, like Jack Buck called baseball games, or once I moved out here, Vin Scully called Dodger games. I'd be like, how do they know all this off the top of their heads?
Right.
Like Vin has a story or
for
a stat for everything.
Yeah.
That's impossible. And then I learned, no, it actually is impossible.
Well, the reason is because there are PR people and game notes staff, and they give us all this information. And it's really just a matter of how much you want to use. So what would happen if a staff just pulled a Mason and took the week off? Said, I'm not providing notes. I'm not providing rosters. I'm not providing you any information whatsoever. John Miller, the longtime voice of the Giants. Before that, he was the voice of the Orioles. He, of course, was the voice of ESPN Sunday Night Baseball for years and years, him and Joe Morgan. John worked a game over the weekend, Giants, Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks provided zero information to the announcers. They didn't give him a roster. They didn't give him game notes. So John sits in his chair and realizes this. And, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's not having this. And he goes off on the Diamondbacks. I want you guys to tell me after this rant, who looks worse here? John for complaining or the Diamondbacks for not doing their job? Here's what he said.
Here's a curveball, and that's in for a strike. I have to guess, the D-backs decided, the heck with the big leagues. Let's just not be a big league team for the split squad. Here's the 1-1 pitch and a fastball swung on and missed by Bryce Johnson. It's 1-2. They have sent no public relations people over here. no information about who the manager is or anything at all about him. So if they don't want to be a big league team, we'll just treat him like a Sandlot team. So they give us no information about anything. So one of those guys in a red shirt managing and a right-hander, one of their right-handers on the mound, and there's a ball up and away. 3-2 the count. I mean, there are certain things that go along with being a big league team, like try to act like a big league team. 3-2 the count to Bryce Johnson. Here's Ciccone, and the pitch is bounced to second, over to his right, backhanding it, Castillo, and he throws out Johnson at first. See, I even had names. I did a little homework on what little we have, which is nothing whatsoever, from the Bush League D-backs.
All right. Bergman, you first. Who comes off worse there, John Miller or the D-backs?
Well, they both come off pretty bad. But either way, I love how John still, he does like the Vince Scully where he's going in and out
right.
of the
call. High and outside. And these people are idiots.
3-2 count. Yeah. I didn't get anything from this PR team.
it's great. It's obviously very inside baseball. Andy, who comes off worse there, John Miller or the D-backs?
I think the Diamondbacks in the end, just because Miller is so hilariously unhappy about this. And like, the more it goes on, the less willing he is to just drop it.
Right.
Like he's like Bob Uecker in Major League.
Right.
When he just can't hide his disgust with the team.
Ah, hell with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, just when you think John Miller's about to move on, mm-hmm. he takes just the next twist of the knife. I think the Diamondbacks come off worse just because he's so funny.
Michael, how about you? Who looks worse there, John Miller or the Diamondbacks?
Well, definitely the backs. I guess they didn't feel the need that a game was important enough to provide any kind of information on the player. So, you know, so he should just have some fun with it.
I would say this, though. If I would never go naked into a game broadcast. So if the Diamondbacks provided me nothing, I mean, John, you can Google who the Diamondbacks manager is, and Google will tell you.
I disagree. I think John Miller is a man who's standing on principle. He's like, if you're not going to help me really showcase your players, mm-hmm. then I'm just going to lean into the nothing that you gave me.
So I'll give him this. It was spring training. So, like, there's
and a bunch spring of, training and split squad.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, it's a bunch of dudes that you've never heard of from, like, their single A team that they were playing.
But for those players, this is maybe their one opportunity to ever get talked about in
sure.
a real Diamondbacks
Which
game.
Is why it's on the Diamondbacks, because
right.
why are you supposed to know who these dudes are at that point? Number 97 is never going to make
right?
the team.
Right. Like, if I'm number 97, I'm mad at the Diamondbacks.
Agreed.
Like, this is my one chance to have an ESPN guy call my name, and you did nothing.
Well, that was from the Giants broadcast, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Giants announcer. All right, let me get this in here. Yesterday, you weren't here yesterday, Andy. We played people have just started to get brain cramps on Wheel of Fortune. They can't figure stuff out. So yesterday, we played this. Oh, no, that's not it. Do you have yet that thing we played yesterday?
Yeah, I got it. Here
All right. Go. So yesterday, this happened on Wheel of Fortune last week.
B, please.
Yes, there's a B.
We're going to try to solve.
Okay.
Warm toasted bagels with low and cream cheese.
No, not right. Nina, it's your turn.
We had L-O and then a blank.
700.
X?
Yeah, there is indeed an X.
Pat, I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Sure.
Warm toasted bagels with lox and cream cheese.
Yeah, that's a much better recipe.
Okay, so, Greg, after we played that yesterday,
yep.
and we all made fun of the girl calling for low and cream cheese instead of lox and cream cheese, that maybe I was being a little presumptuous that, Andy, for lack of a better term, Gentiles would all know about lox.
Is that why you held this topic over, John, because I'd be coming in?
No.
Get a little bit of expert opinion?
No, but I still think I'm
part
not...
of the tribe.
Bergman's,
I'm not
Bergman's
in the tribe.
Opinion wasn't enough yesterday to satisfy this.
I'm not in
bring
the tribe. Michael's not in the tribe. We know what lox are.
Yeah.
Is it worth? Was I too hard on this woman for not knowing what lox are? Do you know?
I just asked Bergman, what is it? He says it's salmon. I didn't even know that.
You've never heard the term lox on a bagel.
I would have got it wrong.
you would have said low and cream cheese, and then we could have made fun of you.
Exactly.
Andy, what do you think?
I mean, if you don't go into delis, I don't know why you'd know what lox is, in all honesty.
I mean, I just know because, I mean, I've been, I don't eat them, but I've been around. Like, I went right. and once did a Seder at Dave Singer's house.
Okay, but
and they had lox there.
Okay, if you don't go into delis or Seders, you're not, like, there's only so many places that you're going to get salmon prepared like that, specifically called lox. Like, 99% of the restaurants in America do not serve lox. Like, they really don't.
Right, so maybe this guy that tweeted me was right, that non-Jewish people don't know what lox are.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. All right, coming up next.
Oh, somebody on the YouTube just said, Jerry Jimenez said, what the hell is a lox?
Yeah, there you go. So yeah. maybe her screw-up was not as bad as I thought it was. All right, coming up next, what in the world is the Pac-12 doing? Is the Pac-12
about... question you always ask.
Yeah, is the Pac-12 about to be completely blown up? We'll explain. By the way, what's up, fool? Coming up at about 15 minutes in Game of Games today is Andy's game. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yes, indeed. Live Imaging Tuesday on Mason in Ireland. A little England Dan, John Ford Collier.
I had no idea they had a second song.
They have like five.
No, they're yacht rock staples.
You know what, Andy?
I only know the one.
I like you more than Brian, but I don't know after that.
That is the only... I only know the one, you know, really like to see you tonight. It's the only one I've ever heard.
I don't know.
I'll dig in, though. I will research more from England Dan.
Dig in tonight. About 3 hours from right now, Lakers-Grizzlies coverage begins the Toyota Lakers countdown to tip-off with Slee and Michael Thompson. And then Johnny I and MT have your play-by-play starting at 7 p.m. You'll hear it all here. And at halftime, we don't know if Slee will know how to toss to it yet, but the Pau Gasol retirement ceremony, we will bring you live coverage.
I have great confidence in Slee tonight.
Slee's a pro.
He will. Michael, how will he introduce the ceremony?
And now let's go turn over to Lawrence Tanter.
See, that's not nice.
What?
I just was talking about it. This is the first time for him. I didn't. He's very energetic.
Well, he's smooth. He's a pro, man.
You'll hear it all on the flagship radio station of Lakers basketball, 710 ESPN.
Right, 7 o'clock tip tonight. Michael and I like those. What we really like is what's going to happen on Sunday.
12:30 game again.
6 o'clock tip.
12:30 is even better.
Yeah, 12:30, especially after the football season. You've always had that idea.
Yep,
you know, Sedano's doing national play-by-play for that again on radio.
Yeah, but what's interesting about that is nobody here can hear it.
Well, we have to go to either Sirius or on the app. Yeah. Well, because you're on.
Yeah, right. Because we have the rights.
Do you kind of throw that in his face like, hey, man,
no,
you're not clear
no,
in L.A.?
I would like to hear it.
You're not clear in L.A., George.
But he doesn't care. He still gets paid the same. All right. So, by the way, could the Lakers get away with the game on Sunday is a 6 o'clock start. Tonight's a 7 o'clock start. Year round, 6 o'clock starts.
Like in the weekdays?
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. It can work because the finals start at 6 p.m. on the West Coast and the arena's full.
Traffic alone, Andy, rules it out?
I think that's way too hard in this city for the average working person. To get there at 6 o'clock.
They did it in the finals.
Right, but the finals is just 7 games a year max.
Yeah.
I think 82 games or 41 in LA, that's a lot to ask of the average person working a job. Mm-hmm. 7 for a lot of them is probably tight.
Seven.
Yeah. Seven's way better than even 7:30.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because when it says 7, normally that means it's going to start more like 7:15, 7:20.
Right, first game in the league, we have 8:30 starts in Portland. 8:30 p.m. games.
Geez, no wonder you guys couldn't go to sleep at night. That's right. It takes forever. All right, yeah. So
that's crazy.
I know. That was standard back then.
All right, can either one of you tell me what the Pac-12 is doing? First of all, USC and UCLA leave, and then the Pac-12 says, well, they won't really go. Well, they're going. And now the Big 12 is coming after Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. Andy, if they get those four, that's six of the 12 Pac-12. Isn't that the end of the Pac-12?
I feel like it's already the end of the Pac-12. Once you lose USC and UCLA, that's the cornerstone of that conference anyway.
Yeah, that's like the Big Ten losing Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, for all intents
and Ohio State. Yeah. Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, the Pac-12's done. Like, it may still exist, but it's done in the way people cared about it.
How do you let that happen if you're running the Pac-12? How do you just let Rome burn and not do? If I was a Pac-12, the second that USC and UCLA left, I go on the offensive. I bring in, I don't know, whoever I can get, San Diego State, UNLV, Fresno State, Gonzaga.
Those teams, though, they're not going to replace USC and UCLA.
Right, of course not, but no one is. But here's my point. By losing your two biggest schools, obviously you're on life support at that point. Of course the other conferences are going to come after your strays. You got to D up here, man. Your conference is about to go away and die.
I mean, honestly, again, it's dead whether you want to dress it up or not. Conference is done.
They could bring in Long Beach State, Cal State Fullerton, Cal Poly Pomona. They could bring those guys in.
Yeah, I mean,
Cal Institute of the Arts.
There you go.
You got to do something. You just can't sit here and watch these guys cherry pick you like you're a carcass. I mean, if they let this happen, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah, and at the heart of this is the inability of the Pac-12 to negotiate a good TV deal. If they, you know, every other conference has dwarfed them in TV deals, and they've been unable to get anything with any traction. Apparently, they're talking to Amazon, they're talking to Google, they got nothing. And if they sit there and let them get raided, and Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah go to the Big 12, I think that's malpractice
But here's the thing, though. How are they supposed to prevent it if they're making these outreaches to Apple and all these other places? And those networks don't want them. Like, what are they supposed to do?
Well, they're supposed to add, like, let's say you added Gonzaga for basketball in the Big 12, in the Pac-12. That would help you get a TV deal. People love watching Gonzaga on TV. Let's say you added San Diego State and UNLV for football. They're not SC and UCLA, but those games will be on TV.
But those are not big enough to make Apple or Netflix or
but
whoever
big enough to
plunk
keep
down.
Your conference afloat.
But you said before, the problem is this is all about money. Those teams are not big enough to make you otherwise interested in the Pac-12. They're just not.
Right. But if you don't replace SC and UCLA, you leave yourself ripe to get raided. And that's what's happening.
I think the minute you lose USC and UCLA, the writing is on the wall. Like, I mean, unless you think Oregon or I guess like Arizona State or Arizona are big enough, you're done. It's over. USC and UCLA are like 80 to 90% of what made that conference matter.
Yeah, I just think that, and I don't know if the answer is getting different people to run it, but you cannot be passive right now. You got to be aggressive. You got to replace SC and UCLA.
But they're trying to. I mean, you said they've been making these reach outs.
All right. So if Tommy Lasorda were alive, he would say, trying to. I can get that guy in the corner to try. I need doers. I need somebody who can get a deal done.
It's easy for him to say when he was with the Dodgers. It was the best organization
right,
in baseball.
But this is malpractice. If they let these four schools go to the Big 12, the Pac-12, as we know it, is dead. And a lot of people are going to be out of work. And a conference that's been around for over 100 years is going belly up because they're not being aggressive and nobody's minding the store. They need to get aggressive.
See what Daniel Jones just got?
Is it official?
160. 4-year, $160, $82 million on signing.
Woo! Okay.
Baby, Danny Dimes.
I should have played quarterback.
So he got $40 million a year.
Yeah. And can you believe they still shortchange Lamar?
Yeah, I would not have given Daniel Jones that money.
Why not? That's the standard rate for a good quarterback these days.
Right, but he's only done it for 1 year.
Oh, he can play.
Pay Lamar Jackson today.
I don't know. I hope he leaves. He needs to go to Miami.
But I would not have given that money to Daniel Jones. You know what's weird, you guys, is that there are not one, but like five teams right now that have no quarterback.
Yeah, it's weird.
None. I mean, if Tua is still in concussion protocol, there's no quarterback in Miami. There is no quarterback for the Jets. There is no quarterback in Carolina right now. There is no quarterback in Tampa. What?
Yeah, the Niners, for all intents and purposes, right, don't have a quarterback.
Greg, there's no quarterback in Las Vegas.
No.
What? Five teams with no quarterbacks? What are these teams
What's
doing?
What's crazy, too, is there really aren't even enough premier quarterbacks right
way,
now to fill it.
That's, Michael, why Daniel Jones got $160
Plus,
million, because
yeah,
the market dictates, well, if we don't give it to him, who plays quarterback
right
next year?
Yeah.
What are those teams going to do? What's Tampa going to do? What are the Raiders going to do?
I don't know. Well, if you ask Bergman what he wants, he just wants them to tank anyway and get
Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams. That's
right.
What I want.
Well, Greg may turn out to be right.
I'll deal with Jared Stidham for a year and get to Caleb Williams.
What's Tampa going to do? Tampa has no quarterback. What's Carolina going to do? They don't have a quarterback. Isn't it kind of like important in the NFL to get that box checked?
It is, but if you don't have anybody good anyway, you might as well just be forward looking into the draft. Like, if you don't have the guy and you can't get the guy as a free agent, then you got to be searching through the draft. Like, that's where you're aggressively going to find your quarterback.
But I'll tell you what, there aren't five good quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah, they are. Are you kidding me? These guys look great in the workouts.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Michael, you can't slide those five guys into starters in the NFL.
Why not?
Because when's the last time a rookie starter in the NFL did anything? Listen, Russell Wilson?
Those days are gone where a guy gets drafted as quarterback and you hold a clipboard for a couple years. Somebody's just put him out there. Josh Allen started right away.
I mean, even if you hold a clipboard for 1 year, I mean, okay, so it's a holdover season.
Look what Brock Purdy did. He was a rookie. He stepped in. Some guys can step in and play Ireland. Stop that old way of thinking. Oh, we're going to draft this quarterback.
All right, so give me quarterbacks that you think could step in and play right now in college. There aren't that many.
Well, Young and Stroud, the guys who are top, right, they're going to play right away, and they should.
Yeah, go into bad teams. Bryce Young. I would take him, but a lot of people
think he's undersized. Anthony Richardson, 6'4", 245, looks like a LeBron James at quarterback. Play him right away. Let him learn the lumps right away.
Maybe that's the issue.
Especially if you don't have an Alex Smith in front of you, like what Kansas City had with Mahomes, right away.
Can you guys ever remember a year? Like, today was the day that you could franchise people.
Yeah.
All right, so Lamar Jackson got the
non-exclusive.
Bergman? Non-exclusive so franchise tag.
Non-exclusive franchise tag, right. So anybody else can go.
So, by the way, if Lamar leaves, what's Baltimore doing
Nothing.
For a quarterback?
That's what I was talking to Travis Rogers about. He's talking about, who cares if Lamar leaves? They don't win. I said, are you kidding me? You see those stands? You think those stands are full up there to see Mark, whatever, the tight end play? They're full because of Lamar Jackson.
I would pay Lamar Jackson in a heartbeat.
He wants $200 million guaranteed. I don't know why they just won't give it to him.
Side note, I would love to be franchise tagged. Like, where your salary is top five average of a job that pays
That's
a ton
true.
Without all the haggling.
But you have no security. That's why a lot of people are questioning whether or not Lamar will play for the franchise tag. Because
if he
gets hurt, he's done.
What position are you playing? You're a cornerback, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say they franchise tag you, and you're like the best cornerback in football, and they say they give you Jalen Ramsey's making 20, and they franchise tag you for 15, and you think you're better than Jalen. Don't you want to make he makes?
You always want your worth.
There you go.
I'm just saying it's a pretty awesome system when you think about it, where at the end of the day, the worst thing that happens for you is you're guaranteed top five average for your position.
You know, you retired too soon. You could have been a white cornerback in the NFL.
There you go.
You don't see those anymore.
Yeah,
no, you don't.
Jason Sehorn.
It was the last one.
The last
starting white cornerback.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
How come everybody talks about that?
All right. What's up, food?
Who's worried about the black quarterback? What about the white cornerback?
It's an extinct species.
Like a T-Rex. Won't somebody think of the white cornerback?
Yeah, exactly. It's like
we'll
a T-Rex.
Get, Bergman and Jorge in here, and they'll throw a bunch of stuff at us next. ESPN
like a,
LA.
Like a mastodon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks, Tris. All right, so James Harden is starting to get annoyed with us, the fans, the media, everybody, basically, about his playing ability. He said, "I don't know what they want from me. You know what I mean? I've been doing this thing for a very long time. I've been one of the most consistent players in this league since I've been in." James' playoff history will tell you a little bit differently because he's not very he's not there all the time. But does Harden need more respect?
Well, he's one of the great scorers of all time. But, Michael, he's never been to the finals. Mm-hmm. He doesn't play defense.
Well, he's been to the finals once.
Oh, that's right, with the Oklahoma City, and yes, he struggled.
Yeah,
he and Michael, he doesn't play defense, and he is often out of shape.
Yeah.
I think that's why people maybe respect him less than he thinks they do.
Yeah, we all love James Harden. I like him, a nice guy and everything, but yeah, you can't put him in the class of KD and Giannis, LeBron, of course, and Steph and guys, multiple superstars who have won multiple championships or a championship, so that's why he doesn't, is not regarded in the same level as those guys are.
I don't think it helps, too, fair or not, that he's seen as a team hopper, like somebody that just keeps moving around looking for a better situation. Mm-hmm. You know, there's
Why does it hurt Durant, or doesn't hurt Durant, but hurts
Harden? It has hurt Durant. I think it's absolutely hurt Durant.
See, I think people look at Durant universally as one of the greatest players ever.
Right, but people have detracted him a lot. Listen to the way Barkley talks about the two championships. And you know that
which he's totally wrong about. He actually led that team.
Well, I'm not saying that he's right. I'm just saying he's not alone in the way Durant gets talked about, the way that he forced his way to Brooklyn, forced his way out of Brooklyn. Like Durant, I think for somebody of his stature, has taken a lot of arrows himself.
You mean he did what 100% of the workforce in America does as far as choose where they want to work?
He did what Barkley has done.
Exactly.
Barkley
forced his way out. That's a good point. Yeah, Barkley did it too. Yeah. He went out of there. All right, Greg, where you at?
What's up, fool?
All right, so Jason Sudeikis says that Ted Lasso will end after season 3, but that was a pretty much known at this point. It was always supposed to be just a 3-season arc. He did leave it open, though, for spinoffs to happen. So what Ted Lasso spinoff would you want to see?
Roy Kent, Roy Kent.
Yeah.
That would be the spinoff.
Danny Rojas, football is life.
Rojas is kind of a one-trick pony, right? That's all he does. Football is life. Roy Kent is like just, he's an uncle to a really cute little girl, so he has a soft side, and he's just has no filter. I think that would be the one for me is Roy Kent.
I only know two Kents. Clark Kent and Lala Kent.
You know David Kent.
David Kent, that's three.
I have never been prouder of you that you know who Lala Kent is. How do you know who Lala Kent is?
Vanderpump Rules. She's always in the gossip papers of the Daily Mail and stuff like that.
Well, have you ever seen Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of episodes of it.
Because, you know, there's a big scandal going on right now.
Yeah, I heard about
Raquel is hooking up with Sandoval.
Yeah.
And they're in love.
Oh, my gosh.
And Ariana has been left on the side of the road.
Right.
No.
Castaway.
Is Lala Kent the new last name of Lala Vasquez?
No.
Okay, so different person.
Yeah. Lala Kent was married to that Randall Emmett. Yeah. Or Emmerit, the producer, and
you mean like the guy did it, I think like Independence Day?
And he was cheating on her the whole time, and so they broke up.
I hope we've named the right guy.
Now she's back in the guy. He I don't know if he did Independence Day. He's done a bunch of like B movies.
Okay, then
he owed 50 Cent like $1 million.
I was thinking of Roland Emmerich, definitely different person. Apologies to Mr.
Okay,
Emmerich.
There you go.
Andy, do you watch Ted Lasso?
Never seen it.
Oh, what is wrong with you? Why?
I don't have Apple TV.
You've never seen Pitch Perfect, and you've never seen Ted Lasso.
What do you do all day?
I get the free trial.
What do you do all day if you're not watching Ted Lasso or Pitch Perfect?
Or Vanderpump Rules.
Nothing. Yeah. I do nothing else.
You just ignore your daughter, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you do all day? You just get to see all these
shows. I watch Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't spend any time with his 11-year-old daughter.
Exactly. No, all the time I spend.
Riley off in the corner while dad's watching Ted Lasso.
Hey, you stay in the room while I watch Ted Lasso.
No, watching Lasso.
Hell with your homework.
Troy Kent, Riley.
You don't watch it either, Michael?
No, I've never seen it.
I feel like this would be a show you would like.
Yeah. Everybody tells me that, but I just don't. I watch it all my last chance of the Western Front and stuff like those good movies.
Just give it a shot. You would like it. It's a very happy-making show.
That's what I hear.
What's up, Foo? Yeah.
All right, so I'm glad Michael's here because I got a boxing one.
Ooh, yes.
Yesterday, in 1985, Mike Tyson made his professional debut. So, is Mike Tyson the best heavyweight fighter you've ever seen?
You asking me that?
Yeah. The whole panel.
Are you freaking crazy?
Wait, you would put Mike Tyson ahead of Muhammad Ali?
What kind of question is that?
It's just a question.
No.
He
ain't even top five.
Mike Tyson is probably the most... I'm trying to think of the word. He was like a comet, Michael, when he came onto the scene. He just like shot out of a rocket and then kind of came down just as fast, right?
He was a good fighter, don't get me wrong.
I would put Ali ahead of him. I'd put Frazier ahead of him. I'd put Foreman ahead of him.
Larry Holmes. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I put Larry Holmes.
Larry Holmes was a great fighter. You say you don't know boxing if you don't know Larry Holmes.
Yeah, no, I do. And he was the champ for a lot of years.
Yeah.
I think Tyson would destroy
him. No, not a young Larry Holmes. Holmes would have jabbed him to death.
Did you name Foreman?
Let me switch the question. What's your Mount Rushmore of heavyweight champions?
The Mount Rushmore of heavyweight champions?
Foreman, Frazier, Ali.
Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali. I would say Jack Johnson back in the start of the 20th century. And the fourth one probably be George Foreman. That would be it. You know, some people say Jack Dempsey knows things, but Jack Dempsey was
Rocky
your
Marciano.
Size. Marciano was like 180 pounds.
He beat Joe Louis's ass. Mama cocaine,
Joe Lewis was 137 years old.
A lot of people would put him on there, Greg. You're right.
I just wanted to do the one line, and John got it right away.
bleep you. Right. Who's next?
What do you know from nothing?
Right, so.
Taste the soup.
Where's the spoon?
Tyson. Ali, he was the second greatest attraction in boxing history and heavyweight history, but not the greatest. No.
What's up, Foo?
Good question, man.
Easy.
Get so angry. All right, so Rich Eisen said that he heard rumblings at the combine that Tom Brady may not be done playing football in the NFL and to watch out for Miami. Brady quote tweeted the story about it on Twitter and said, "Anyone who thinks that I have time to come back to the NFL has never adopted a 2-month-old kitten for their daughter." Does him owning a cat change your mind about playing in the NFL?
No. I think he's trying to get Giselle back, and when it fails, he'll go back and play quarterback for the Dolphins.
Okay, first of all, if you're going to try to throw out a pet to make your case, you can't go with cats. Cats are self-sufficient.
Right.
Like, there's no training for a kitten.
For a week, the cat would be fine.
Yeah, that kitten is 2 months old. That kitten knows everything it needs to know. So if you really want to prove this, Brady, you got to go out and get a puppy. Like, if you really want to use an animal, it's a puppy.
Is he really trying to get Giselle back?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I think so.
I thought she dumped him for some fitness trainer.
Yeah, he's trying to step it up.
Oh, come on, Tom. Have some pride.
What, you want to just bail on her?
Yeah, she dumped him.
She's a supermodel.
Tom Brady can't find another one?
That's true.
Michael, put it on mute.
No, that's Tom Brady calling you. So stop talking about me.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to the next one.
What's up, Foo?
Oh, still a lot of time. All right, so Bob Ross was a staple in the Bergman household. This guy was on PBS.
Said with such enthusiasm.
Well, because I'm gonna have to start looking for other questions. Bob Ross was a staple in the Bergman household. You don't. This guy was on PBS and in 30 minutes would take a blank canvas and turn it into an incredible scenery with just happy little trees. Well, there's this new movie coming out with Owen Wilson playing a Bob Ross-like character named Carl Nargle. It's called Paint, comes out April 7th of this year, and it's about Carl doing his show for years until a younger woman comes and starts doing his bit of the Bob Ross bit. Did you watch Bob Ross at all, and are you interested in this movie?
I completely missed the Bob Ross thing. Wow. I never saw. I know who he is. Like, I know what he looks like, and I know that he used to, like, paint things. But, Michael, I never watched him. Did you?
I've seen him paint, but, yeah, Hollywood's running out of ideas for movies. We're going to make a movie out of this guy.
I used to watch Bob Ross all the time.
Thank you. He was awesome.
Let me tell you something. If you happen to have partaken in some Mason substances, Bob Ross was the ticket, man. Bob, watching Bob Ross paint while you're high.
Yeah.
Woo.
It's a good.
You could hear the paint.
It's a good afternoon.
You could hear the paint. You could hear the paint.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. All right. So
I will watch that movie.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. And Owen Wilson's doing it. He actually looks a lot like Bob Ross.
He does. I never noticed that before, but he totally does.
He does.
Wow.
He can have a broken nose.
So I'm going to use one of Andy's things here because I ran out of questions. Peter Gabriel is about to go on his first solo tour in over a decade. Who would you want to see among artists who've been largely out of sight for a while, John?
David Bowie.
He's dead.
He's dead.
Oh.
But to be fair to Michael.
But I would love to see him, Michael.
Sure. It's only been 7 years.
Really?
Yes.
It's been quite some time.
Wow. Who has not been out there for
Peter
a while?
Gabriel's on my list because he rarely tours.
Man,
he's supposed to be
great. I go to a great show at the Hollywood Bowl about 5-6 years ago. Sting and Peter Gabriel together, and it was like tag teams. Sting would do a song. Peter Gabriel would do a song. Then they'd switch and do each other's songs. It was just really, really well done.
What about the Temptations? They're still living, ain't they?
I think half of them are gone, too.
Yeah, I don't want a mix-and-match band like that. You know, you want the originals. Well, you just want the originals. Yeah. Or most of the originals. If it's like one original Temptation and three replacements.
What about Diana Ross? She's still around, right?
Let me Google.
Yeah, Diana Ross.
Yeah, Diana Ross would be good to see.
Still alive.
I bet she could still get out there and kick it a little bit.
She's old, but she's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question.
78 years old.
Yeah, oh yeah, she still can do it. Tina Turner, be good to see her.
Tina Turner would be good.
Yeah.
I bet she can still put on a show.
I saw Frank Sinatra at the very end, and he had a giant teleprompter with huge font size letters. I did it. Line my way. It was really bad. So you know what? You want at some point you got to step off the stage, right? You don't have to go back.
Yeah. What's up, fool?
All right, that'll do it.
Okay, have you guys heard about this new pitch, the Ghost Fork?
Yes.
Have you heard about it, Michael?
The Ghost Fork, like something you eat with?
No, it's a fork ball that this pitcher is throwing.
Oh.
It drops 41 inches from the top to the bottom and has 11 inches of break. We'll explain next. Michael in, Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.